Mystery. Is it possible that linguistic creates communities rather than analyzes language? Yes, it is. This becomes very much apparent when we view the relation between linguistics and the process of visualizing language. Though visualizing has been a dominating characteristic in the Western sciences for centuries, the consequences of this domination have only now been reflected on. Among others, the dominance of visual implicates concepts which are closely linked to the objectifying of the thing to which science concentrates its attention. This thing is partly there, partly created to be there, but for most part used as a phenomena for seeing is believing, but even more, showing is convincing. And therefore science has divided the world into what can be seen and what remains unseen, and with it also in what can be sensed and what remains unsensed, and in its flow what is normal and what is abnormal. You have added to this visual discourse as well. To abandon speech for the sake of language indeed requires a shift in attention from the faculties of sound production towards a general faculty of visual signs. This in itself is a process of mentality pursued as it circulates the physical presence of the speaker and eventually eliminates the presence of the individual body in language. In this process, your first focus is the creation of sound images. And this conceptualization through sound images has, since your courses in general linguistic, become one of the most grateful objects in linguistics. It has resulted in a linguistics that is fully concentrated on the brain rather than the perception of individual bodies. In spite of the fact that individuals have a capacity to pluralize their private perceptions for the sake of communication, the operation of sound images results in little more than a plurification of individuals for the sake of membership in the linguistic, not language, community. I must say that I found it a bit ironic that this membership, as if individuals could be limbs or heads, in your theory is the result of an etymological origin derived from Latin. You propose that the Latin origin of articulus means membership, part, or subdivision of a sequence. And from this you conclude that articulated speech means linguistic membership rather than individual expression. Your remark that speech is only an embryo simultaneously suggests that speech constitute parts of a sort of organic community, a composite body, but that language is exclusively psychological. The most convincing argument for this you find in the fact that speech can be conceptualized through visual images, which writing, amongst others, shows. In fact, the entire idea of concept makes language a psychological phenomena. The idea of concept does not even encompass the freedom to view language as abstraction, like you write. Linguistic signs, though basically psychological, are not abstractions. Associations which bear the stamp of collective approval and which added together to constitute language are realities that have their seed in the brain. Besides, linguistic signs are tangible. It is possible to reduce them to conventional written symbols, whereas it would be impossible to provide detailed photographs of acts of speaking. The condition that this speech act cannot be fixed within photographic frames makes it quite clear that the perception of the body in language escapes visualization. As a result, mental concepts become the exclusive way to suggest visualization of such perceptional processes. Yet it is extremely important to realize that the growth of linguistics and the growth of psychology occurred simultaneously at the beginning of this century as a result from their mutually exchangeable conceptualizations. Even though both disciplines have been presented as separate, they never were separate entities but needed each other desperately for the sake of scientific justification. Neither are they merely a result of the body and mind split. In linguistics, the difference between individual expression and mimesis on the one hand and the pre-existing community on the other drives on older theories containing the ideas of the origin of language in terms of onomatopoeic and introjections. In fact, onomatopoeic expressions made linguists consider the mimetic capacity of human beings in the first place. This mimetic capacity embryoed individuals as agents of sound rather than as sound producers. Interjections and exclamations gave way to reflection of individual expression, but as expression seems to be short in terms of time span, emotional and painful, the reflection on individual expression never gained much more than the status of a biological and thereby mentally subconscious expression, necessary as a means of catharsis, which was simultaneously viewed as a rather primitive outcry. It is not surprising, I think, that the capacity for individuals to modify language has been so outruled by linguistics, as the entire idea of the alternative capacity of individuals has been reduced to the two former categories. And of course, individual speech can never present itself as separate or natural entity as long as general rules are applied exclusively in the areas of mimesis and catharsis. Yet, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. In psychology, catharsis and neurosis are so much linked together that the individual expression cannot be viewed other than as a reaction of individuals. And truly, is this link not founded on anything else but failed mimesis? Hence, one has to conclude that the introduction of conceptualization in terms of normality and abnormality, in terms of successful and unsuccessful mimesis by individual, has led to the ideological models of controlled and restrained agency within a linguistic system of language. At the same time, it grounded linguistics to view its own foundation as natural and thereby scientific. Indeed, the natural cause and the cultural outcome signify more than the unbreakable relation between sound and image, between signifier and signified, as that which is posed off as the arbitrariness of signs. Arbitrariness, of course, is the necessary keystone towards conceptualizing the human psychic. So, what of this famous arbitrariness?